Get your Bibles, turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, and I am excited. I honestly don't know how many weeks we'll be studying the book of Ruth. It's not going to be 20 weeks for sure, but I believe it'll be many weeks. I think you'll get a blessing out of this tonight. We're going to kind of set the stage for the main part of the book of Ruth, but if you don't get tonight's lesson, the rest of the book of Ruth won't make quite as much sense. So let me challenge you to listen tonight. Ruth chapter 1, we're going to read the first 5 verses, but keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them tonight. Ruth chapter 1, look at verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Notice that statement. When the judges ruled. We'll come back to that in a moment. That there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn, watch that word, sojourn, in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab, watch this, and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpha. That's not the black lady on television. Not Oprah, but Orpha. And the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the women, and the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. Now, look at me. I'm going to start with some things here, and we'll continue in chapter 1 as we teach tonight. But Elimelech and Naomi lived in Israel. This takes place at the same time as the book of Judges. Notice it says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. That's why you have right before it the book of Judges. That's the time before there were kings, there were judges that would rule Israel instead of a king. Now, I personally, my opinion would be this. I believe it took place about the same time as the they would have left sometime, in my opinion, wouldn't fight you over this, when Gideon was on the scene in Judges chapter 6. In Judges chapter 6, it talks about the Midianites and a famine in the land of Israel. So in my opinion, that's where it would be. I don't care. I just know it's sometime during the time of the judges. My best guess would be roughly sometime there around the life of Gideon. And I wouldn't argue with it, but it seems to be logical in my mind. Now, please look at me for the next couple minutes. If you don't get anything, get this. The Bible is not just a storybook. The Bible is a book about life. I realize we say the statement, the stories of, but it's more than a storybook. Too many people view the Bible as a spiritual storybook with fictional characters. God did not write us a storybook to entertain us. This is a living, breathing book to teach us truth. The lives of these people are there to show us what to do and what not to do and what happens both times. If we would just quit reading it as a story, and I'm going to make a statement. We've even revamped our Sunday school curriculum. You say, why? Because think too much religion teaches stories but no truth. Just because somebody knows a story doesn't mean they know how to use the truth. Anybody can get up and tell a story. Good night. Bill Cosby can do that, and he's on his way to hell. Everybody doing okay? Just because somebody knows the Bible stories doesn't mean they know anything about truth. Our goal is not to learn a story. The stories are there to teach us truth, just like a parable, as we taught on parables for many weeks. These are real people with real lives, with real situations. Don't read the Bible as a storybook. Read the lives and the truth of the people's lives. May I say this to those of you that teach? Teach the Bible as truth, not a story. I can point to people all over this room. You came out of other churches, whether they be Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist. You could give me lots of stories in the Bible, but you didn't know any truth about them. You knew what the story was, but you didn't have any idea what the truth was. And that's criminal. The Bible is so much more than a storybook. Matter of fact, God calls it the words of life, not the words of stories. The Bible is the word of life. Now, Elimelech and Naomi live in Bethlehem. A famine comes into the land. And by the way, that is the same Bethlehem where Jesus was born. It says Bethlehem, Judah. That is the city and the state, so to speak. Judah was the southern, was part of, if you remember, you have northern Israel and Judah. It was one of the tribes, but Bethlehem is in the tribe of Judah. That's why David was the city of David, Bethlehem, and he was from the tribe of Judah. That's why it's all put together there at that point in time. This means they were in a famine. Guess what? That means things were tough financially. Things were getting tight. Things weren't going as easy. And people, I'm going to make the statement, people generally make bad decisions when they're strained financially. Everybody doing okay? Like many people, this couple and their two sons, teenagers by the way, make a decision to go to a place called Moab just to visit. They got to get away from the famine, and they're going to go to a place called Moab. Now, they go to a place that is in now modern day Jordan. By the way, Moab is the country that was derived from Lot and the incest between he and one of his daughters. One of the sons born from one of his daughters of his own body was named Moab. In other words, it's kind of the rebels of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now think through that for a second. I know I've got some young ones here, and I'm not going into detail, but just think through that for a little bit. They go to visit. We read in verse number one, it says, and they went to sojourn in the country. That word sojourn means going to go make a visit. They were going for a short period of time. But if you look at the end of verse number two, it says, and they continued there. Oh. Maybe we ought to be careful where we go visit. For the next 10 years, Naomi, Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion, their sons, live in Moab. But then life starts unraveling very quickly. We don't know at what point in time in this, but some point in time in there, Elimelech dies. Naomi's husband dies. The Bible says then that shortly thereafter, both of her sons marry women of Moab. So both of her boys get married, but in that same 10-year period, after the boys have gotten married, they die. Now, think through this. After 10 years, she's left home. They've moved their family. They're living in Moab. Her husband dies. Her boys get married. Both of them die, and she's left with her two daughters-in-law and herself in a foreign country. What a mess. In 10 years, her life has totally become a mess. In an effort to make life easier for her daughters-in-law, and in an effort to keep her life from getting even worse, We did not read this, but if you started reading in verse number 6, don't do it right now, you can read it later. But if you started reading in verse number 6, she tells her daughters-in-law, look, I'm not getting married, and I'm too old to have kids, and even if I did, you're not going to wait 20 years and marry my other kids. Just leave and go find yourself husbands somewhere else. I'm going back home. Well, one of her daughters-in-law, Oprah, she says, all right, thanks, Mom, and she takes off. But Ruth, her other daughter-in-law, says, I'm going with you. She said, I'm going to stay no matter what. Where you go, I will go, and we'll see that in a little while. Now, let me give you about three or four things tonight that are just unbelievably practical and important. First of all, number one, don't make hasty moves, especially in difficult times. Don't make hasty moves, especially in difficult times. You may think I make quick decisions. I don't. I make slow decisions. Once I've made my decisions, I move fast thereafter. But I don't make hasty decisions. May I say something? Tough times are coming in America. And some of you would remember back in the 70s and 80s, the oil crisis, and people were leaving all over the place to go to Texas to go work in the oil fields. And then the car industry boomed after it bottomed out. And then people were moving to Michigan and other places. And then the steel industry fell out, and people were moving elsewhere to go do other things. And it's amazing how people have shifted all over the country to follow jobs. I'm not saying you're not right with God if you move over a job, but I never find one place in here that Naomi and Elimelech ever looked for a church when they got there. They didn't care about their spiritual welfare. They just cared about how good a life they were going to have. They were no better than Lot. He looked to the well-watered plains of Sodom. Isn't it amazing what we'll do to chase the dollar bill? Think about it. Think about how people will move all over the country for their own comfort. Now, I'm not saying that it's ever wrong to move. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, just because times get tough doesn't mean that you ought to just sell out and go somewhere else. That's pretty rough. I've seen a lot of that happen, and I've seen a lot of families ruined over that. They wanted better than they thought they could have where they were. Live a satisfied life. There's two ways to be satisfied. You get everything you want, or you want everything you have. You know, I want very little. I really do. My wife, my kids will tell you, there's very little I want. I don't go window shopping and say, boy, I wished I had. I don't look, what's that thing you ladies look at all the time? Pinterest, yeah. I don't look through that thing and say, boy, I wished I had that and that and that and that and that and that. I don't even go on Cabela's website and look and say, boy, I wished I had that and one of those and 10 of those. And I don't do that. You say, why? Because there's nothing I want. I really don't live wanting things. Guess what? I'm pretty happy. If I don't want anything, if I get something, it's a blessing. There's very little in life I want. But may I say something? When hard times come, that's when you need to tell yourself, I don't want anything other than to take care of what I have. I promise you, it was not even in this state. It wasn't even in this region. I know a man who lost his job. The day after he lost his job, he went out and bought a brand new pickup truck. I said, what in the world did you do that for? He said, because I lost my job. I got to do something to make myself feel better. Now, Brother Mike, I'm not real smart, but I'm smart enough to know that was a dumb thing to do. But you'd be surprised how many people get into a financial pinch and then they start spending money so people don't know they're in a financial pinch. Just look at your credit card and tell me otherwise. You know, there's nothing wrong with not going out to eat every day or every week. Right. Did you know that you don't have to stop at Sheetz and get anything but gasoline? And I'm not saying it's wrong, but when times are tough and you're having a hard time paying the bills, why don't you look at your Sheetz bill over the last 6 months and find out how much you spent that wasn't gasoline? Ouch, that one got... or Wawa or any of the others, all right? I'll hit you all from Maryland to Virginia, amen? Or what's the new one down the road? Royal Farms. Yeah, chicken. West Virginians judge gas stations by how good the chicken is, yeah. Amen? That's a good gas station. I got a good chicken. Y'all are laughing, but you know I just nailed you good and hard, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute. When times get tough, did you know there's nothing wrong with squeezing pennies? Selling some things off. There's been times I sold guns off just to pay the bills. I didn't sell them all, but I've sold few guns in my lifetime off just so I could make sure that bills were paid. I'd rather have a few less guns sitting around the house than not to be able to pay my mortgage or to feed my family. I didn't say I got rid of them all. Yeah, that's how you feed the family, but don't let Brother Aaron shoot the shotgun behind your ear, all right? Now, wait a minute. Be careful, and I'm going to make a statement about this, and please listen. They took a vacation, a fancy vacation during hard times. They went to sojourn, and then they continued. May I say something? Anywhere you go on vacation, people leave there to go on vacation somewhere else. We went to Hawaii. It's so great, preacher. Yeah, do you know people leave Hawaii to go somewhere else to go on vacation? I remember Brother Hiles, the last many years of his life, he and Mrs. Hiles would take two vacations a year. And by the way, the man earned it. But they went to, one year they went to Switzerland and visited all those places, and they stayed up on top of Lake Lucerne on the mountain overlooking the lake and stuff. And they were leaving to go to the airport to return back to the States. And the fella in the cab that picked him up, he kind of went, Brother Hiles was a chatty fella. And he'd say, are you tired? He said, yep. He said, this is my last day of work before I go on vacation. And Brother Hiles started chuckling. He said, well, where are you going? He said, anywhere but here. You know, there's a lot of truth to that. One of the most beautiful places in the world. The guy couldn't wait to get away from there. Now think about that. Just because it looks nice and it's nice to visit doesn't mean it's going to be any better if you move there. Save luxuries for later in life. Some of you younger families, save the bigger vacations for later. I tell young couples who get married, don't have too big of a honeymoon. World travel for a honeymoon is not wise. Save that for later. I think there ought to be things in your life that you wait decades for to do. I just believe that. You say, why? Because if you do it now, there's nothing to look forward to in life. Nothing. You say, well, I might not ever get to do it. Guess what? Then you didn't spend all that money for nothing. I'd rather take care of my family, have my bills paid, and have everything done than to have a fancy vacation. And my wife and I have never been on a cruise. I'm not sure she wants to go on one, to be honest with you. It's not my kind of lifestyle. Now, there's some places I'd like to take her, and someday we may, but not right now. Our 25th wedding anniversary, I had something planned, and my son and daughter-in-law decided to get married. So our 25th wedding anniversary was their wedding. It doesn't bother me. I was happy. I got a daughter-in-law out of it. That was better than getting a trip anytime. I got rid of a son. Wait a minute. Our 30th. I thought, man, we're going to do something big. Mindy and Michael got married. That one cost me even more. Now, wait a minute. But I did get rid of my daughter. guess what? It's not that big a deal. After 32 years, good night, we've been all over the country together. How many places could we go to where we haven't seen something similar to that? There's a couple places we'd like to go someday, and we may, but just not right now. Now watch this. Be careful where you go, because you may be tempted to move, but just remember, if that's where you live, you're going to feel the same way about where you move to. Because once you move there, after a year, you're going to say, I got to go somewhere and get out of here. I promise you. Live having things in life worth looking forward to. I always thought I'd want to go to Israel someday. Honestly, I'm going to wait till the millennium and I'm going to get to go there and see Jesus. Amen. I'd rather go there then than go there now and see how they've messed it all up. And man, it's pretty rough over there. I don't like ducking bullets, amen? Just not my way of life. So don't make hasty moves or hasty decisions or hasty purchases, especially in difficult times. Number two, after they visited Moab, they decided to stay. And I realize I touched on this, but this is why we have to be careful what pleasures we partake in our lives. Too many times what we visit then becomes a standard or something regular in our life. Let me put it in terms my mom told me one day. When we found out we were expecting Josh, she said, son, I'm going to give you some advice. Children are a mirror of your extremes. I said, what do you mean? She said, what you do occasionally, that's what they're going to do all the time. Ooh. Can I tell you something? She was right. There were things that I've watched good Christian families do things on vacation. They would go somewhere, do something that they would never normally do if they were at home, but then their children made that their standard. And they wondered why children didn't make it as well in their spiritual life. I tried to make sure when we went on vacation, we stayed spiritual. We kept doing on vacation what we did at home. We just did it in a different place. We played a little bit more. We did a few other things. But we didn't miss church. We didn't have roadside church. We didn't travel during church time. We did the things that we were supposed to do. I made sure we were in church. Now, they weren't always the churches I would choose to be in. Especially if we went to Minnesota. Oh, please don't. And there was times my wife sat on my hands and I sat on her lap just to make sure I didn't say anything. It was bad. And the kids would come out, Daddy, I know, but we went to church. It's the best we could do. Can we stay at Grandma's house and you preach tonight? And we've done that before. And I've done that, but we had church. What you allow on an occasion then becomes regular for your children. Elimelech and Naomi never planned to let their sons marry ladies from a foreign country, especially a wicked foreign country. But because they visited there and then they continued there, guess where they got their wives? Moab was a wild place. as I said before, it was founded by one of Lot's children that he had through one of his own daughters. Don't forget, vacation is not reality. But make sure while you're on vacation, you have reality. Okay, I'm going to say something here. There's activities I may or may not allow our teenagers to do. I'm not a real fond person of taking kids to the roller skating rink. There's nothing sinful about roller skating. You say, well, what if we rent the whole place out? That's one thing, but we've created an appetite that if we don't rent it out, what are they going to do? I just don't know if I'm willing to do that. And you say, preacher, that's a little too extreme. Yeah, but when it's your kids, let's find out. Well, there's nothing sinful. Well, not if we're playing our music, but you go there and all the other kids are jamming to the music and bouncing up and down, and the girls are half undressed and the guys are cussing and swearing and they're doing drugs and everything else, and you want your kids to go there? I have a hard time saying, well, we did that, but you can only do it at this time and that it's right. Because we've then allowed something into their life that we've created an appetite for we can't satisfy on a regular basis. Number three, I must hurry. In 10 years, Naomi had great loss. Look at verse number three. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. First of all, she lost her husband. Then, verse 4, she lost both of her sons. Now, Naomi has to make it on her own, and she's got two daughters-in-law to take care of. She tells them to leave. One of them says, see you later. And the other one says, no, I'll stay with you. By the way, look at verse number 15. Well, let's go back to verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back, watch this, unto her people and unto her what? Gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. You wonder why I said they married daughters of Moab. These girls came from worshiping false gods. Now think through that for a second. She watched her boys marry girls who came from false religion. Then she tells those girls to go back into their false religion. How far away from God could Naomi be? She's lost her husband. She's lost her boys. She's got one of her daughters-in-law that is leaving to go back to their false gods and to her people. But Ruth clave to her. Ruth says she would stay with her. Look at verse number 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, watch this, and thy God, my God. I want you to notice something. This young lady named Ruth was pretty impressive. Here's a girl that came out of false religion, and she looked at her mother-in-law, and legally she didn't have to stay with her mother-in-law. She said, but there's something different about your God, and I'd like to make him my God. And I'm going to stay with you. Now, number four, and I'll finish with this. Naomi finally sees what truth really is in her life. Look at verse number 19. So they two went until they came to where? Bethlehem. In other words, they went back to Naomi's home, correct? And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? Now look at me. In other words, can I put it in our redneck language? All the busybodies saw him and said, is that who I think it is? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, look at verse 20. And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. The word Mara means bitter. Now, verse 21, I want you to mark it. I want you to notice something here. Now, look at me. Before we read it, look at me. They left due to a famine, right? Things were getting tight. They left because the economy was turning and they could make a better living somewhere else. They thought things were bad when they left. Look at verse 21. I went out, what? Full. And the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. I want you to notice something here. Naomi and her husband left in a famine for an easier, better life. After 10 years, her husband's dead. Her two boys have married, and they are dead. One daughter-in-law has left, and she's now got a daughter-in-law following her. She says, I left full, but I've come back empty. She thought she was leaving empty to go get full. When in actuality, fullness was back where it was tight. How many times have people made decisions and said, boy, I wish I hadn't have done that. It was better before I did that. I'm not talking about getting married either. I knew what you were thinking. The devil in the world will suck you dry. And then when they get all they want, they're going to leave you empty. Go outside Charlestown, outside the casino one morning and look at all the people that are broke. They came in full and left empty. Go to Las Vegas and watch how many people have ruined their lives in Las Vegas. Actually, don't go there. I was there one time to pick up a moving truck to get out of California. Amen. And that was bad enough. Naomi and her husband thought they made a decision for an easier and more prosperous life, but they ended up empty. Be careful chasing the almighty dollar. It will leave you empty. I've watched people make moves without having a church lined up before they got there. They get there and they ruin their family. I've watched it. I've watched people move that weren't involved in church and then got involved in church and said, man, it's a good thing I moved here. I'm not saying it's always a bad thing, but for those of us who are saved and we know what God says we should do, be careful chasing a buck. I'm talking about the dollar, not the ones with horns, right? But be careful what time of year you're chasing a buck, because you might get more than you bargained for if you don't have a gun. Be careful that you're not looking just for prosperity. Too many people think success is... There used to be back in the 90s, 80s and 90s, a little statement, whoever dies with the most toys wins. Boy, is that not false advertisement. Moves need to be decided on what God wants, not what's easiest or convenient or seemingly an easier lifestyle. There's a lot of places in the world that have better weather than we have here. But there's a lot of places in the world that have worse weather. Man, I've been in places where, in California, where there's earthquakes. South Carolina, where there's hurricanes. I grew up in the Midwest, where there's tornadoes. You name it, been there. Been through them all. You get into the river valleys and you got flooding. Amen. Brother and Mrs. Barnes live along the Potomac. And you're not going to stop some of these things. Did you know nowhere is perfect? And if you showed up, it's proof. Now, Southern California had great weather. But may I say something? It's not a great place to be. It really isn't. Matter of fact, you get off at LAX Airport and try to get on the freeway, you'll find out how unperfect it really is. And then if you're there for a while and you got to put up with all the liberals, the weirdos, and all a few other things, that you're just not quite sure. I have never seen such violence as I have in L.A. Never. I've been in Chicago, New York. L.A. was the roughest place I've ever been in my whole life. There wasn't, Brother Mike, in 2 years, there wasn't a 30-day period I didn't see police officers on the street with guns drawn. I've only seen it two or three other times since then. But there wasn't a 30-day period go by. It was just a normal appearance. I remember the first time I said, "Look, honey," I turned around, came back, and I realized, you know, you got six cruisers right in the middle of the road. You're driving right next to them, and you got all these guys laying over their car like this. And I got to thinking, wait a minute. If that's pointing that way, what's coming back this way? That wasn't real smart. You know, sometimes it's slow freight, but I'd never seen it before other than TV, you know. We were living action. I find nowhere that Naomi and Elimelech ever sought God on their move. I don't find anywhere that they sought the man of God to see if it was a good idea. By the way, their children married girls who worship false gods. Now, I've got to finish. We now have the table set for understanding this young Moabite woman named Ruth. By the way, this is interesting. She becomes the grandmother or the great-grandmother of who you know as King David. You'll find her name mentioned in Matthew chapter 1 in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Guess what? God can use any of us. God can use any of us. And it's interesting. Yeah, they made a mistake. But God made all things work together for some good. Amen. And this is a very interesting book. You'll enjoy it. But let's learn the lessons of what got us to the book of Ruth, so that maybe we don't have to have a story of Ruth in our own family. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I am not preaching against anybody. I just want you to understand the Bible is more than a story, it's real life. Here's a real lady and a real husband who moved with their children. She lost her husband, she lost her sons. Her sons had married unsaved, ungodly, false God-worshipping girls. And what tragedy her life was. To the point where she said, "Don't even call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. Because of all that happened in just 10 years of my life."